This episode of the Last Match Pro Wrestling Rock Musical Inside the Ring podcast is brought to you by Choke Coffee. Drink coffee, strangle your friends. Choke Coffee is submission fuel for the grappling enthusiast. Now, it's based around jiu-jitsu, but we thought it would be perfect for the Last Match Pro Wrestling Rock Musical Inside the Ring podcast to be our first sponsor. Why? Because we know we do a lot of grappling inside the squared circle. So if you're getting ready to throw on that figure four leg lock or maybe lock someone into the sharpshooter, drink a little Choke Coffee to help with that submission, because it is submission fuel, baby. Their coffee is small batch, roasted to order, and delivered fresh to your door, offering monthly and bi-weekly subscription plans so you never run out of that grappling fuel. So again, check out ChokeCoffeeCo.com. Again, it is ChokeCoffeeCo.com. Well, yes, here we are. We are back at the Last Match, a pro wrestling rock musical inside the ring. Jason, my buddy, my guy, my friend, my compatriot, my brother in arms, he is Hello. Down in Miami.
Yes, down in Miami.
Yeah.
About to cause some trouble.
Oh my God, how bad is it going to get? Is it going to get really bad? It's a bachelor party, you said, right?
It is a bachelor party. The phones are staying at the apartment.
Oh. They're not.
This is not a docufollow.
This is not a docufollow series. Not a docufollow series. There are very strict rules about this. We respect it. I know your wife, Denise, will understand. We'll make sure everything will be stricken from the record. Just have a good time, my brother.
That's right. Yes. Good to see you.
You and too, as always, time. Brother. As always. And we are back. The Last Match of Pro Wrestling Rock Musical, Inside the Ring, the podcast. Very exciting day today. And not just because you are about to go to a bachelor party and all that entails. Actually, because our guest today, do you want to let everybody know who is coming in to be our guest today, my brother?
I can safely say, this is the first time I've ever had the opportunity to interview someone that I have three shirts at home with their character's name on it. that is absolute truth.
I look like a total schmuck, as he would say, one of the dumb, stupid marks of wrestling, because I'm wearing his hat. And I wear his hat almost every day and promote his stuff. Listen, I've been a fan of his since he was back in the WWE days. And then to get to know him. And of course, you probably all know what we're talking about. If you are fans of the Last Match of Pro Wrestling Rock Musical, that would be Mr. Matt. Number 13. Go ahead, my brother.
Matt Cardona.
Yes, yes, it is Mr. Number 13 himself, Mr. Indie God. He is also now the King of the Sea. He's the Deathmatch King. I mean, I'm sorry, the King of the Sea. That one took me out. I'm not going to lie.
I love it.
That literally took me out when he won that belt on the Jericho Cruise. And then he put up on his social media a fucking poster of him on Titanic. Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
He's earned them all. He has.
And now the king of bad boy musical theater.
That's right. So, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, we all know here at the podcast that Jason Houston was the linchpin of putting this all together, right? You know, and I said to him, he was the first guy I said, and we said this in episode one, I said, listen, I want to write this show. What do you think? You know, you're going to be the brains. And of course, you jumped at it. And I can't be more grateful every day that you said yes. But Alexander Swagger, when we started talking about going all the way with heels, and because we're about to talk to the man who invented the character, i.e. you, but also the man
who brew, you know, was the one to breathe life into this character for the first time.
Take him to the next level.
Let's give him a little bit of background into your thought process, our thought process when we were talking about bringing Swagger to life.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting, interesting to me at least, you know. And I think I talked about this on the last one, but this show was written. I know it was conceived a long time ago, and you and I had discussed it as far back, at least I recall talking about it the first time, at least 2017. But we finally had our first meetings, you know, in late 2019, you know, and then COVID hit, right?
Right.
And, you know, everybody was dealing with what they had going on, and everybody, you know, it was just a very dark period. And, you know, I credit you with really, you know, not letting anyone just kind of sink into the swamp of sadness from the never ending story, you know. And it's like, no, there will be an end to this. And when it's over, we got to get ready to hit the ground running. So let's do this thing. So, you know, most of what the impulse in writing this for me was just the opposite of what was going on in the world. The world was just, you know, dark and scary and, you know, just, you know, nobody knew what was going on, because this was written. I think we started writing, you know, our first scenes and songs, you know, like May 2020.
Yep.
So, you know, very weird time in history. But when it came to Alexander Swagger, I mean, the name came first. You know, sometimes the name can be enough to kind of dictate where that character is going to go. But, you know, it's just one of those characters that you just want to make just the lovable, evil, bad guy. That's not evil, you know, like we don't want an actual, you know, mass murderer on the loose, but, you know, a lovable bad guy. And when we started writing the song, you know, I don't think there's any line in that song that I think speaks about who he is as a character as the line, where he says, "I don't even have to rhyme if I don't want to." And, you know, because he could have just said, "I don't have to rhyme," and that would rhyme with the line it's supposed to rhyme with. But then he steamrolls over his own rhyme and says, "If I don't want to." And I think ever since that, and I know, you know, I sent it to you first, and I was talking about it with Denise, my wife, and I think that line just right there just kind of defined who this character was going to be. He can break the fourth wall. He can do what he wants. He can sing a song that is kind of happening in the moment, but also isn't. And then also break the rules of musical theater like a true rogue would do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
totally agree.
He made me happy. In the darkness of COVID, Alexander Swagger made me happy.
You and me both, dude. I remember when you first sent me some of the scenes that you had written with him in it. And, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit later as well, but you were like, oh, I may have gone a little too far with some of the jokes. Because, again, got to understand something. Jason has one of the best senses of humor of anybody I've ever known. Like, he can write a joke. Some of his books, like, I would do the audiobooks, you know, produce something for him. And, like, I would have to stop because I'd be giggling so hard because the jokes were just, they're so funny. He's just one of the funniest guys. However, caveat to that. Sometimes Mr. Husa, his jokes can be hardcore. And I mean, like, think of like watching like Rick and Morty or the things that you watch, you go, oh my God, they didn't just say that. Like Jason has that ability to drop a joke that you're like, oh my God. And like he sends me the stuff and I'm reading the Swagger and I'm loving it. I'm loving the lyrics that he wrote. And I don't got to rhyme if I don't want to, you know, I'm a certified booty inspector, like all this like hilarious stuff. And he's like, am I going too far? And I'm like, brother, here's the greatest thing. And we're going to talk about this later with Cardona, but like wrestling, you can't go too far. There is nothing in wrestling. Excuse me. There's nothing in wrestling that is too much. You know, like it really doesn't matter. It's all about the storytelling. The more evil and ridiculous and over the top and offensive. I mean, you think back to those days. Again, this is a show written by wrestling fans for wrestling fans and everyone else. But, like, you think back to some of the stuff that came out of Bobby the Brain Heenan's mouth. I mean, come on. Or Ravishing Rick Rude.
He's get up there. He's a true inspiration.
You know, like, when he'd be like, stop the music. I want all of you fat out of shape. Oh. Like, whatever would come out of his mouth. And he would be, oh my God, he was so good. And then, of course, you had like Ted DiBiase.
My personal hero. Because he would mess with children, you know? How about pushing the boundary? He would crush these kids' dreams.
What was the one with the basketball? Wasn't there something with like a ball?
Yeah,
or a
dribble. If you could dribble this basketball 10 times, I'll give you $100. And he holds $100. The kid gets to 9, and then he swats the basketball out of his hands and says, "You get nothing."
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. One of my favorite lines that you wrote for Swagger is when, and I'll tell you, Cardona delivered it with the utmost perfection. When he's like, "I'm the one who threw the 10-ton nun through the stained glass window. I'm the one." And then he says that, what's the line with the Make-A-Wish kids? Like,
yeah, I beat the Dynamite Twins in front of all those Make-A-Wish kids.
It's my time now.
It's my time now.
It's just brutal. But it's only because it's wrestling that you can say, like, you can make those, like,
around the with Saddam Hussein, you know, comparing himself as better than,
and he's better than Lincoln. Better
Lincoln
than MLK.
And Martin Luther King and Gandhi. Yeah.
you know,
there's not many characters in musical theater who would go there.
Yeah. It's true. It's totally true. but no, man, it was so joyous because it really was such a dark time when we were writing the show. And our goal was, when we come out of this, man, we want to do something that just makes people happy. That just is something that lifts people's spirits, that they go and when they can be in a room together and we can all experience what it is to be at a concert or a live theater event again or whatever it might be, that we just do something that makes people laugh and have a great time and that they walk out feeling like they had an amazing experience. And that was always our goal. And so
always the goal. And I remember Silvana Joyce, you know, the composer, lyricist, actor in this, just awesome person. I remember after COVID, when COVID was just getting over the hump and she was playing her first gig, I think it was a wedding, because she said she was doing a wedding on the weekend and everybody was so starved for live entertainment. She said, even at this wedding with, you know, however many dozens of people were there, swarmed the stage like she was, you know, Bruce Springsteen,
just because
they wanted something live. And, and then to do a wrestling show where music is, you know, live music is only one part of what's going on in front of you,
right.
You know, like I just can't imagine a better way to reintroduce, theater to the theater community at, you know, post COVID than the show. As a fan of the show myself, I had more fun than reasonably, I think anyone should have anticipated. I mean, you had the vision. I think you saw it in your head. I didn't see it. I could see what makes me laugh, but not a room of hundreds and hundreds of people. And I think that it was very cathartic for a lot of people. And Alexander Swagger plays a huge part in that energy. I mean, hands 100%. Down, he's amazing.
100%. And, you know, and again, you know, we're going to have Matt on here in a few minutes, but man, I'm going to tell him this because he was making me sweat, you know, because he was traveling and wrestling and he's going to come in. You know, we had 2 weeks of rehearsals. Like, I know me, I can't learn lines unless I'm, you know, getting up and walking from my spot to this spot. And, you know, I know that I say this line when I sit on this chair, you know, like that's how my brain works. I mean, I have a learning disability and whatnot, but I know I got this guy coming in, right? He's this major star. And he was somebody we were writing this with him in mind. You know, we had a handful of wrestlers and he was one of the wrestlers, like, oh man, if we could land Matt Cardona, like that would just be, you know, other level, right? And in the end, he said yes, but it was just such a trip, you know, that he was flying in. But we only had like 4 days of rehearsal with him where everybody else had like, you know, almost 2 weeks. And he came in, man. He knew his shit. He was ready to go. And then we just started. I said, brother, you just do what you do and you're going to crush it. And, man, he knocked it out of the park. And, of course, him and Ramin opposite each other. I mean, can't say. I know we all, you're going to hear us a lot on this show, given a lot of compliments to a lot of people, but we really are, from a writing team perspective, from a producer perspective, you know, I believe, and I've always believed in building families when you're doing something like this. You know, you do something like this, you're part of each other's lives pretty much for the rest of your lives. I mean, you just are, you know, it's an exciting thing to be a part of and develop a show, but you know, had Ramin never said yes, where would we be? Had Matt Cardona never said yes, where would we be? If Ramin hadn't said, hey, I've got the perfect girl to play this role, to play the fabulous Miss Jenny or Amber Ardolino. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and so many other people we'd worked with before, you know. And without the producing team, the people that brought money to the table and investors and, you know, friends who became investors. I mean, just so many incredible people that were in this process. Dan and Larissa, my buddy Joe coming into play.
Everyone.
You know, I mean, everybody. So you're going to hear us say this kind of stuff a lot. Tommy Fierro, who took my call when, you know, I didn't know what we were going to do. But I just said, I'm doing this wrestling show and I want it. You know, I want to talk to you because you run the store. And I just think the world of him as well. And then Bull and Afa. I mean, again, I know it always sounds like we're giving an Oscar speech here, but we appreciate all of our fans bearing with us because we truly are grateful for everybody that has been a part of the show, that came on board, Silvana and her husband, Chris, coming on board to do this show, as we talked about in the first episode, you know, and being like, yeah, we're going to take Jason's brilliant lyrics and we're going to put them to music and we're going to do this stuff and we're going to make, you know, and they're just badasses in their own right. So many people. Yeah. So grateful, excited to talk about Matt Cardona. But really, it was, this show really kept that light on, you know, in that, that proverbial light out. We can get there, 100, you know what I mean?
100%. I listened to the first song Silvana and Chris sent, you know, which was only, you know, I want to say maybe August 2020. So it really wasn't long after we started writing. But the first one, and again, it was a scratchy first draft version that we got in a text message. Yeah. I was listening to that audio file on repeat. You know, I would do the dishes and listen to it, you know, 25 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I knew then. I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. For sure.
So no, it was. This is one of the projects that got me through COVID and your belief in it, that even there was going to be a world to return to, because, you know, we all went to dark places in that time period. I credit your enthusiasm and optimism too.
Well, I tell you, none of it happens without you. None of it happens without you taking the risk to start writing and let me go in and chop and change and move and you know, we're really excited to bring this show to the masses and. You know, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to have the man, the myth, the legend himself,
the king of the
one
sea,
and only, the king of the sea, Matt Cardona, will be with us, everybody. So we'll be right back.
See you soon.
All right, folks, as we promised, we are here today with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Number 13, always ready, Matt Cardona, king of the ocean, king of the indies. The list of awards and accolades is longer than I can even keep track of. And we're thrilled that he's taking a little time to talk to us from the Last Match musical, which, by the way, of course, he helped create. And, you know, we couldn't be more lucky to have him a part of our production in general. But we just wanted to talk a little about how you got involved, my friend, how much convincing it actually took your wife behind the scenes to do this actual gig. You know, a little bit of lead up and a little bit of background. Of course, we're here with my co-host, as always, and my best buddy, Jason Husa, who is the linchpin, helped write this whole show. He's the guy who invented Alexander Swagger. So we're just going to get started with this one thing, Cardona, okay?
Yes.
When you read the script, right, and you were seeing that it was, you know, Matt Cardona playing Alexander Swagger, were you concerned that Swagger was a little over the top? Because when we were writing this, Jason was concerned it was a little over the top. And I said, bro, it's pro wrestling. This is the world we're living in. I don't think it's over the top at all.
Well, I will admit, and I think I've admitted this to you, I didn't read the whole script. Before I agreed, but I did read my first scene, and I thought that was it. I thought, okay, I trash talk, you know, I sing a little bit, and then I wrestle later on. I didn't realize until I agreed, oh shit, I'm in this whole thing. I don't know how to act. But to answer your question, I did not think it was too over the top. I thought it was something that I could portray perfectly. I remember the GILF line in there. I was like, wow. I mean, they're really going for it here, you know, and I have no problem with that. I mean, being an independent pro wrestler, you can't get fired, right? So I'm used to just talking trash on Twitter and say whatever I want, because who's going to fire me, right? So yeah, no one's going to fire me. I'm not going to fire myself. Fuck. So I'm like, I could definitely sink my teeth into something like this. But then to answer your other question about how much convincing did it take, listen, I get so much bullshit into my booking email all the time. It's like, you know, so many quote unquote movie offers that, listen, not one of this is like a Marvel movie. It's like some guy filming in his backyard, right? So a lot of this is just BS. Like I would say 75% of the stuff that comes to my booking email is garbage. Whether it's, you know, do my podcast or do this indie. Well, what's your independent called? Where is it? What's the date? Like, hey, are you available to do my show? What show? You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, when I looked into this, I was like, oh, this is something different. You know, a musical, wrestling. I'm like, even at first, I was like, oh, what's, I'll give this script a little reboot. This is going to suck. Right. And then I read it. I'm like, actually, this is really good, you know, because like it's using the wrestling lingo, but not in a cringeworthy way, like using it in the correct way, if that makes sense, like how a fan. Sure. And I later learned it's written by fans, right? Real wrestling fans. And it comes across, especially when you watch a show. But my wife, Chelsea Green, she's like, you got to do this. It's something different. Take a chance. It's only going to take up like a week of your time. I'm like, you're right. I'll give it a shot. But it wasn't until like a week before, I'm like, well, all right, well, I have to go do these rehearsals. I should probably learn my lines. I was like, oh my God, I'm in this entire thing. How am I going to memorize this entire script? But everybody was so understanding, and they made me feel so comfortable. And then Jeremiah, it was you who told me, you don't have to remember every single line exactly and just treat it like a wrestling promo. Once you said that, I was like, oh my God, like I can do this. And then to me, it felt like the next day of rehearsals was like night and day.
Right.
Because I wasn't remembering every single order of every single word. Yeah. I was just getting the gist of it. And, you know, as long as I said most of it, you guys were cool with it.
Yeah, so, of course, brother.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, it's like, you know, when you first came in, man, and, you know, and I got to be honest, you know, from like, you know, the director's standpoint and one of the writers on the piece with Jason, you know, I was like, all right, he's going to be flying in from Australia. And I was sweating buckets because I was like, this poor guy's never done a musical in his life. He's going to step into this, into the fray. Like, you know, I was literally like, I hope he understands. Like, that's why I was like, I was sending you text messages. I was like, hey, man, I just need to know that you're going to be working on these lines. Cause like everybody else had like a week and a half extra rehearsal. Cardona fucking blows in from Oz, just won a title. You know, he's only there for like 3 days of the rehearsal process and crushes it. It fucking crushes it. And even like myself, like, you know, because, you know, you just don't know, man. You know, and I don't know how it is for you in the wrestling world. You know, obviously we're huge fans that are dipping our toes into that world, you know, but we don't understand like, you know, what it takes. And I mean, I've heard some stories from you, Matt, about things like, you know, dealing with crazy bookers and people who don't pay and you show up and people don't know their shit. They're not ready to do anything. You know what I mean? And it can just be a bit of a mess. So I have no idea what to expect. And then you rolled in, but you knew your shit, man. And you were ready to rock and roll. And it was awesome. And literally by the next day, you literally came in, you flipped that switch and crushed. And I'm telling you, it has been so wild for us because you literally are in 80% of the show.
Yeah, shit. <You know? laughs>
And it was absolutely killer. It was absolutely killer. And you absolutely crushed that role and you killed every single performance we did. And we're excited about the future, man. It's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming our way because of this. But
it is going to be a lot of fun. I was going to say, just because you're in there 80%, because even when we're writing it, I love the heels. Like I'm a heel guy, you know, I root for those characters all day long. And you may not know this, but when I was working on it, my favorite bad guy in all musical theater, right, is Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. He's got the best song in the show to me, the funniest song in the show. And it was just a masterclass in bragging. And it's just such like, you know, you see wrestlers doing that bravado, that kind of, you know, that kind of material all the time. And it was my goal, frankly, when I was working on it, I wanted to make something that competed with that song and just the best bad guy song in musical theater. I don't know if you remember, my kids were at the second show. We all had swagger gear on, you know.
Yes.
We didn't, you know, faces have their own fans. We're swagger all day. And I was just curious, are there, you know, Gaston is a hero of mine. Are there any villains that are heroes of yours?
Oh man. I mean, so when you talk about like 80s wrestling villains, like I think like, you know, Macho Man, or like Rick Rude, I think you captured those, like all those like cocky bad guy heels, and you just like wrapped it into like a heel sandwich and you got Alexander Swagger. And I have, I don't want to say I'm a natural asshole, but my wrestling character is. So it was easy to kind of sink my teeth into this, just put on, it's basically just Matt Cardona with different pair of tights on, you know?
Well, that was the goal, baby. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, like when we were writing it, we were writing it with you in mind to hopefully play the role. The fact that it even came full circle is, I mean, so many moments with the show are totally surreal in general, but like that was like, you know, we had like a handful of modern wrestlers that we were like, man, if we could land this guy, if we could land that guy, if we could land this person for this other thing we want, you know, and you were at the top of the list. And I don't know if you know this, but we had no idea how to get to you. Like we had zero idea. Like, you know, I'd never tried to like reach out to wrestlers from a producer standpoint, right. And especially like, you know, musical theater, like some random musical theater producer from New York is going to call a wrestler and be like, oh, bro, right, I'm a really right, big fan. Right. I want you to be part of it. But it was actually Mike and John who run their own page called World Wrestling Flashbacks. And they're, you know, fans of yours and had interacted with you a little bit. And it was John and Mike who literally were like, hey, we just need to tell you, I know you wanted to talk to Matt Cardona. We actually were talking with him like online or something. I was like,
I mean, that's kind of what happened. Yeah, we were DMing about something and then they mentioned the musical. I'm like, I haven't heard anything about it. Here's my email, whatever, or my number, whatever it was. Yeah,
yeah, man. And that was those guys. But yeah, man, when we kind of flipping back now, like to like the character of Swagger, you know, the goal was, you know, to hopefully have someone like you. And it was written with you in mind to come in and play the part. So just to have you there has been surreal. But it really was just as you put it, man. It was a heel sandwich. I was like, all right, we want ravishing Rick Rude. Nothing better when he comes out there. I want to tell all of you fat, out of shape, you know, sweat hogs to shut your mouths, you know, like all that stuff, which is why even, you gotta understand something, man. Like Jason and I have worked on many projects together. And Jason is one of the funniest guys I've ever known in my whole life. And there have been moments where Jason will send me updates to a script. I'm like, bro, you can't write. You can't. I'm like, bro, we'll be canceled tomorrow. Right, like, you know.
But with this show. There's one I got to run by. Actually, I did the other day. I got to run by.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that'll be an offline discussion.
Yes.
But yeah, no, you know, so it was so freeing to be able to go, Jason, just, you know, I always tell you, you got to pull it back. This one, you can just be free, baby. Let it ride. Let that, you know, there is wrestling. There really are no rules in the storytelling aspect of wrestling. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, The Undertaker is dead. He returns from the grave. but we all believe it. You know, it's done in a realistic way. Like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, he was buried alive. He came back. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
Totally true. That's totally true.
It's all, if it's a good story with good storytellers, I think anything is believable.
Oh, yeah. No, Sergeant Slaughter switching sides.
Oh, dude. That was one of the great. All right. Because, listen, we're going to nerd out over wrestling here. We appreciate you sitting with a couple of goofy ass wrestling marks. You know, I wear this hat all the time, bro. Like, that's how hard.
I appreciate that.
That's, I mean, literally how big a hardcore wrestling mark I am.
Thank you.
And fan of yours. Which, by the way, I don't know if I told you, but when we actually started rehearsals, you know, the young guy, Kyle, who's our stage manager, right?
Yes.
So this
is
a young guy. He lives with me. He's one of my best buddies, right?
Yeah.
And it's like my little brother from another mother. And, you know, we had that first day of rehearsal when you showed up. I had to pull him aside. I'm like, listen, bro, you got to keep it together. Because he has a giant picture of you signed that he bought offline from you.
I found out maybe it was the last day. And I'm like, why didn't you mention anything? You know, like, he's like, hey, do you want anything from Starbucks? Like, never once mentions, like, A, I like wrestling. B, I was a fan of yours. Which I get it. He's being professional.
Yeah, he's trying to be professional.
I get it.
Because literally, like, lives with me. You like walk. Yeah, we're all trying to be professional. Because we're a bunch of fucking wrestling nerds who wrote a musical about wrestling. So, like, we're all trying to play it cool, you know. But here's this guy, man. He's like 26-year-old kid. and he's got, you know, this poster of you with your finger up. You bleed. You literally look like you've been bleeding like a stuck pig. And it's a great shot. And you had signed it. And, you know, he bought it offline. And so I was just like, look, man, I know he's your favorite. He's the coolest guy. So you're just going to have to play cool when you're around. And you can't fangirl out. Like, we all got to keep it together. And he was awesome, man. He was so professional. All right. So because we're sitting here and you're being kind enough to nerd out with us for a minute, what do you think? We've gone back and forth a couple of times. What do you think the greatest heel turn, other than Matt Cardona leaving the WWE, was? Like, that you, like, that stick, or at least give us top three heel turns that you just go,
I have number one, and I don't think it should be debated. It's when Hogan joins the NWO.
100%.
I mean, 100%. I don't think it could be debated. I think what it did for the wrestling industry, we probably wouldn't be having a wrestling musical if there wasn't NWO and wrestling wasn't that hot. We didn't have the Monday Night Wars and DX and Rock and Austin. And, you know, and I think it all starts with Hogan turning on WCW, but really turning on all the Hulkamaniacs, kids like me, who, you know, said my prayers, took my vitamins, you know, all the red and yellow BS, him to take a chance on himself and make that turn, definitely the most iconic heel turn in history, in my opinion.
I totally agree.
I know it's my opinion, but I don't think there's a debate.
So no,
I think that transcended wrestling. I think you could ask, my mother would have been able to tell you about that, you know?
I mean, totally true. Totally true. People that weren't wrestling fans at all found out that he was bad. You watch, there's like a Muppet movie. It was like Muppets in Space or something. like a year later, and like Hogan's there, and he's like, "Yeah, sorry, I can't help you, Gonzo. I'm bad now." Like fucking transcended, you know, literally. Because I watched that live, because, you know, Matt, you and I are close in age, at least, and I know. And I watched it live, and I remember thinking to myself, This is the crazy, you know, 16-year-old me, like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then the promo that he cut was utter perfection. Like, when he got in there and he was like, I did all this shit for the charities. And I mean, literally that line that we have for you, where like, I'm the one who did all that in front of the Make-A-Wish kids.
Yes,
that's all that was taken, like, not from his speech, but like, it's that idea of how could you be the most evil guy, turn on all the little kids, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I would say that is not debatable that he is the best heel turn in history. So listen, we don't want to keep it too much longer, man. We appreciate coming in, you know, but we're really excited for the future. We got a lot of stuff coming up that we're going to be announcing soon, but, you know, we also want to take a moment to recognize the major podcast network, the Bendies. What do you got coming out? What do you got coming down the line, dude? Like, we're all fans. We follow you. We're major Bendy people. Like what's coming up?
Yeah. I mean, this is a busy, busy time. WrestleMania week. It's where all wrestling is going down. So I have shows. I have a live major wrestler podcast. I have WrestleCon, which is basically like this giant wrestling convention where I'm just signing autographs for 3 days straight. So it's really, really fun. And hey, you never know. Maybe we'll get some last match major Bendies down the road. Who knows?
But yes.
I have too much stuff to plug. I'm more concerned with last match and plugging that, making sure that gets off the ground, because it's something really, really fun. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of it. And I think, I don't think you necessarily have to be a wrestling fan to enjoy it, but obviously if you're a wrestling fan, you really fucking enjoy it. You know, I think everyone can relate to Ben Vengeance's story of, you know, just one last match or one last opportunity to live out their dream that last time. So, and I think you guys, not to kiss your butt, but did such a good job with the storytelling where, you know, these people, the people meaning characters, Alexander Swagger, Ben Vengeance, everyone on the show, these people saw them for the first time watching the show, but they got invested. So when it's time for that main event match, they want to see Ben Vengeance kick Alexander Swagger's ass. And that's a testament to your writing. Because if not, like, you know, these are brand new. They're walking in to this. Who are these guys? And you guys told the story in that 2 hours or whatever. So kudos to you.
Dude, that means so much to us, man. Like that really is, I got to tell you, like, I wish I could sit here and take credit for all of it. But it was Jason Yusa, my buddy here, is the linchpin on a lot of that. He's the one who comes with these characters. He brings all this to life. and he crushed it. And, you know, we really sat down, and I'll let you talk about this a bit, Jason, here. But, like, it was really important to us was authenticity. We wanted people to understand that this was a love letter to the world of wrestling. This was written by fans for wrestling fans. And then anybody who would just want to come and have fun. And I actually use your quote in interviews all the time, Cardona. I literally am like, Matt says it best. He's like, who wouldn't want to come see the show? We could be that fucking guy who's like, nah, fuck you. I don't believe in having fun. Like, like you said that backstage. The one day I was like, that's it. So, I give credit to Mr. Husa here.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, thank you very much. I think more than any other project, or, you know, every project's been special, but there's just something about this one where every single person is firing on all cylinders, you know, from costumes to, you know, you just don't have anybody just sitting there waiting for their turn. Like, everybody's invested in it. You know, sometimes, you know, actors have other things going on. And this time they're watching what's going on, even in rehearsal. They're so invested in that. And, you know, and I think it paid off in the performance, because like you said, you know, wrestling fans obviously love it, but the theater fans, and even just the tangential theater fans, you know, I had friends and family come down from Canada, you know, just soccer moms who just know that this is musical theater. It's a project we're working on. Just wanted to come check it out. Who lost their voices, you know, rooting for Ben and booing for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And literally lost their voices, were hoarse the next day, more than one person. And, you know, again, in 2 hours, I think that's super special. And I think it's a testament to some of the awards that we won for it. You know, like nothing like that happens normally if it wasn't for every single person who's involved in this in all directions, like literally giving it everything. And it's in the show, and it's outside the show, and it's in behind the scenes. It's everywhere. And it's so special. So yeah. I just love it. And
Yeah, we're going to have a hell of a time, man. Really. Thank you, dude. We're going to have so much fun. There's a lot to come with this show. We have some major announcements coming up, and we're really excited to share it with the fans. And, you know, I'm telling you, brother, you know, our goal is to keep you busy. So, get ready, man. It's going to be one hell of an adventure coming up for the world. The Last Match Pro Wrestling Rock Musical. We're grateful for you, man. We're grateful that you took a chance on this fun show. And literally, help catapult it, you know, and also just to say, you know, Cardona, it's not to blow smoke up your skirt, but the reality is, you know, you help bring a level of legitimacy to this show that never would have happened otherwise. And for us, from a writing standpoint, a directing standpoint, to have somebody playing a role that was literally written with that person in mind was just that. And still, we would sit back and be like, that's crazy. That shit doesn't happen. You don't like write a show for like Harrison Ford. And then he goes, yeah, fucking come and do that shit. You know, and then all of a sudden here you were. So, you know, again, brother,
I was in my office when Jeremiah called. My day job, I was in my office by Times Square, and Jeremiah calls me in the middle of the day. I slink out into the hallway to take my whispered phone call. Yeah, what's going on? He's like, you're never going to believe it. Matt Cardona's in.
He's in.
Whoa. But listen, can't celebrate because you're sitting in a cubicle, you know?
I wish I could take all the credit for the legitimacy, but what Ramin brought to the table, first of all, he's a fucking Broadway star, legitimate star,
100%.
Right? But A, he looks like $1 million, and B, the fact that Bull and Alpha, not just him, but everyone else in the show, it doesn't look like these actors wrestling. It looks like these people have done it for years, and that's a testament to how well they were trained by Bull and Alpha. And then Ramin was down for everything. I hit him with a chair. He gave me a superplex. He's a crazy son of a bitch.
Listen, man, you're gonna bring up bad moments. You're gonna bring up upsetting shit. Is that what you're gonna do now? You're gonna tell the people the true story on that? That's the true story. See. So what the fans don't know was there were some unplanned additions that were put in the November 17th performances. And let me tell you something. You weren't standing with me where I'm standing with the boss, Rachel Murray, my producing partner, man. And she's like, what is happening? What is he doing? And I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. It looked balls. It looked awesome.
But that was all Ramin. I didn't just decide to grab a chair and nail him. He asked me how to do what he said.
No, but you're 100% right, man. And we were going to kind of close up with that. You know, we're so lucky on this show for so many levels. Like, you know, Ramin is an old buddy of mine that I hadn't reconnected with in years. And he asked me what I was doing the one day, brother. Like, he was like, what'd you do on your day off? Because we reconnected in the show that we're a part of. And I was like, we're doing a table read of this new show that I'm working on with my buddy Jason. And he goes, you wrote a show? I'm like, yeah, Jason and I have written a couple shows. And he said, what's this one about? I said, well, it's a fully immersive pro wrestling rock musical. And he went, what? And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, brother, can I be part of it somehow? Can I help? And I, you know, but we, you know, listen, I knew him before he was, you know, Ramin, right? So right. Now he's Ramin. So somebody right. like that says something to you, you kind of go, are you being serious? Like, you yeah, sure you right. really want to do this, brother? And man, he not only has been an amazing friend in this process, but just like, you know, really taking the time to help build this show up and like stepped in and did the album, did a music video. Like, he was down to do anything. And it was, and I told him, I said, well, you do it, you know, you got to really learn to wrestle. And he was like, brother, if I can go back in time and be a pro wrestler, I would do that in a heartbeat. Like, you know, it's always my dream. And, you know, he's also a big UFC fight guy. Like,
right.
you know, he's just one of the coolest dudes. And, you know, we're so grateful to have him and that he even, I mean, even if he had just done one of the songs, you know, with right. being a rock star singer would have been like humbling.
That would have been great.
But literally for him to come in and do everything that he's done, I mean, he strapped this show, like it was like strapping a rocket to the show's back when he said yes. And we're just so grateful for him for it. And then at the same point in time, then he's also a madman. He's using these rings. He's getting in the ring and he's like, you know, we got these incredible. So we have Bull James and Afa Jr. For the fans out there are, of course, our choreographers. They're now award-winning choreographers. And they stepped into the fray to teach our wrestler, our actors to be pro wrestlers. Now, when we say that, we want to be very clear. We're not actually saying that they are pro wrestlers. That takes years and years of training, but they are learning actually. This is not theorized right. pro wrestling. It is not something like a fight choreography you'd see in a Broadway show. This
right.
is
like, we're not pulling any punches. Ramin will tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
because this isn't shot like a TV show or a movie where there's fans on every side of the ring. I think it would take them out of it if we weren't connecting. 100%. You know? And 100%. I told Ramin, you better hit me hard because I'm going to hit you hard.
It's true, man.
It was day one of rehearsal. It was stunning what he was up to. But yeah. honestly, everybody. I mean, you know, Jason Simon and you know, Ryan and Sam and Brandon. I mean, that guy is a ball of energy.
That little
and
guy, absolutely. That little guy sells like nobody I've ever seen. I got to be honest.
But, he's amazing.
Know, we're so grateful. Like, just across the board. Like, you know, we have so many people in this show.
Amber
like,
climbing the ropes within 5 minutes of getting there.
Amber's doing cross bodies and scissor kicks. Like. She's been training for years.
Yeah, like she's been training for years. So, you know, like we're so grateful to our team, man. Like Rachel Murray, our associate producers, like everybody. Tommy Fierro was the first guy that kind of got me into the world of wrestling and was willing to, you know, kind of teach me a little bit about, you know, promoting a show and all that sort of thing. And he's been an amazing friend. And yeah, it's just like, this is one of those shows, man. It's very rare. And you hear people, you know, go back and forth, you know, and compliment each other. But, you know, we really are grateful to everybody that's been a part of this and helped this show along the way. And, you know, this is just a beginning for this show. This is, you know, we are very excited. Like I said, we have some amazing announcements coming up. It's going to be a hell of a ride. And, you know, we're just grateful to all the fans out there who've taken the time to listen to the podcast, listen to the album, you know, follow us on social media. And don't forget to follow Matt Cardona and his podcast network, the Major Pod Network.
Yeah, Major Reservoir Podcast. Like I said, I have so much stuff to plug.
Go pay attention to Matt Cardona.
Let's plug his song at least. Tell Alexa to play I'm Awesome by Matt Cardona in Last Match Pro Wrestling Rock Musical. Listen to that song and see if it goes if it comes close to Gaston's song. See what you think.
It is a great song. I love it.
Well, brother, we appreciate you taking the time, especially in such a busy time of the season, to step into the fray and chat with us a little bit more about the show and a little bit more on your background. And you're always gracious with your time and more fun stuff to come, brother.
Awesome. I can't wait, guys. Let's do it.
All right, dude. Thank you so much. And we appreciate you. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye. We just want to say one more time, thank you to Matt Cardona for taking the time, especially in a busy time of his career right now where he's out there. Wrestling Con, WrestleMania, it's all around the corner. You know, when you're a hardcore wrestling fan like we are, you know, even to sit down and still talk to that guy is a trip, you know. And I freely admit, Matt Cardona, you know, you'll probably listen to this. I'm sure you're going to listen to the whole thing. But we're just big time wrestling marks, dude. And we appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to a couple of wrestling nerds. Again, want to thank everybody that's been a part of The Last Match, our entire Last Match family. Couldn't have done any of this without you. We love each and every one of you, and so grateful to all of our fans out there of our extended Last Match family for following us on social media, engaging with us online, and chatting with us about, you know, when the show coming back. Well, we've got announcements coming your way, and we're real excited to share it with everybody. But to be continued, the saga of the Last Match Inside the Ring podcast. We're going to be coming back. Jason, I love you. I'm grateful for you. Grateful for your friendship, and excited for the future, brother.
Right back at you. Love you, man. We got lots of work to do.
Yes, we do. We'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.